On the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. Hey, how about this rain? It's a blessing. 45 degrees at Slap out here in Cimarron County, though. It's 32 at Boise City, and they are under a winter storm warning right now. Wet snow falling, all kinds of stuff going on out there. So if you're traveling that direction, keep an eye out on the weather up there. It looks like it's going to stay out there in the far western part of the Oklahoma Panhandle and around Dale Hart, Texas, and that area there. So anyway, got snow falling. 46 at the May Ranch, 52 degrees at Lahoma, 44 at Bessie, 44 at Mangum, and 42 at Hollis. And we got 42 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. It looks like the Eric Mezzanet might be down on my deal, but we'll check that out. Let's see what the radar looks like real quick. Man, it's just the southwestern part of Oklahoma is just yellow. There is rain falling up towards in Dewey County and Ellis and that area, but southwestern Oklahoma is just covered up with yellow, and so is a lot of the Texas Panhandle. So the rain is coming. Let's go ahead and check some rainfall amounts with the Mezzanet Center. Yeah, the Eric one's down for some reason. 60.60, 6/10 of 1 inch. How about that? Is falling in Elk City, and we have here the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, 71/100 of an inch. Almost an inch and a half at Hollis already, a little over an inch at Mangum, 8,300s at Altus, 6,300s at Hobart, 3,300s at Bessie, 7,900s at Camargo, and 6,100 at Arnett, the home of the famous Lori Campbell. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. I have more on the Taylor Ranch. Matter of fact, I just talked to Mr. Jimmy, and he's on his way up north to the feedlot to pick up some calves to bring back down here to the butcher shop, and he's got it going on. He's a busy man, so we'll have more on that coming up here pretty quick. I skipped the Texas Panhandle out here. Lipscomb's 45, temperature wise 42 at Canadian, 42 at Dozer, and 41 degrees at Childress. According to the rainfall total at Wellington, they're up over inch and a half already at 1.52, and Dozer, I think's got almost 2 inches of rain. So there's some rain coming, guys. It's headed our way. That's where the big stuff is right now, and it's headed right up into Greer, Beckham, Roger Mills. It's coming, so it's a good thing. We'll take it, won't we? Hey, how about those brothers from Roger Mills County last night, round five of the PRCA bull riding? Sage won it. Kimsey won it, and matter of fact, he scored a 92, I believe, and the he rode the Polar Express, the bull, never been ridden before. Sage got her done last night, and then his brother, Trey, also, them the only two that got in the money last night. He did good, and we'll send prayers out to Kai Hamilton. I don't know if you guys got to see that last night. That wasn't pretty. On his bull ride, knocked him out, and they said he would not be in the round that's going on right now. I believe the sixth round started right now. They got two rounds today and questionable for tonight. So anyway, that was a bad deal, and you know, it's sad. He is the only one of the bull riders that doesn't wear a helmet, but social media has been lighting him up. You know, I guess that's what social media is good for, so people can express their opinion that can't express it anywhere else because nobody's listening to him. But leave the young man alone. You know, that's his choice not to wear a helmet, and not yours, and you have no right to judge him. So leave the young man alone. He's still standing number one in the world rankings, and he's a good bull rider. And so just leave the man alone. be judged. Matter of fact, while we're sitting here talking about rodeo, I got it up here somewhere. I thought I did anyway. There we go. I'll just go over briefly if you guys haven't been following it too heavy or didn't get to see round five last night. See how the standings are right now. All around, Stetson Wright is still in from, he's from Beaver, Utah. He's still in number one spot, and it's going to take a lot to catch him in the all around. And I think he's out on injuries. And then bareback riding, Keenan Hayes from Colorado, he's standing number one with $322,000. Steer wrestling is Dalton Macy out of Oregon. He's standing in there almost $250,000. Saddle bronc riding, number one is Sick Thurston. Hope I said his right name, first name right. On the saddle bronc, $313,000. He's out of Canada. And then team roping, Clint Summers out of Lake City, Florida, $202,000. He's in, right in there. Team roping on the heelers, Jake Long out of Coffeyville, Kansas, not too far north east of here, $216,000. And tie down ropers, Riley Webb out of Texas, Denton, Texas, is $376,000. Steer roping, Cole Patterson, $166,000. He's out of Pawnee, Oklahoma. Bull riding, Kai Hamilton, he out of Australia, standing in there at $402,000. Stetson Wright, $378,000. Josh Frost, $266,000. Sage is right there at number four at $256,000. And then Trey Kimsey is it right there behind his brother at number five, $225,000. Barrel Racing, I don't know how to say her name. It's a long one, but let's go with Brittany Tanazi. I hope I said that right. Out of Texas, she's $270,000. It's going to be tough to catch her. She's $120,000 ahead of anybody behind her. And then breakaway roping, Shelby Boscioli, something like that, out of Texas, Stevensville to be exact, is $164,000. So anyway, pretty good rodeos going on out there. As you guys all well know, Sage was on the show Monday, and this is his last year in the PRCA rodeo. He's going full-time in the PBR next year. So anyway, there you have it, just an update on that. Okay, well, let's see what's happening with overnight, what happened overnight. Soybean and grain futures plunged in overnight trading on expectations for rain in parts of Brazil and Argentina. Areas of Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, are expected to see rainfall starting next week, according to the Commodity Weather Group in a note to its clients. Precipitation will be limited in the next 7 days, which will stress soybeans and corn in the northern third of the country. Rain in week two, however, will curb stress in that region, though some moisture deficits will linger on. In Argentina, meanwhile, abundant precipitation the next 2 weeks will boost soybean and corn prospects. Argentina on Monday suspended its grain import registry just before a new set of economic measures to stabilize the country's economy are put into effect. Brazil's soybean production was forecast by the USDA this week at 161 million metric tons for the 23-24 marketing year. That's down 2 million tons in their earlier prediction. Soybean futures for January delivery dropped 10.25 cents to $13.135 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $7 to $403.30 a short ton, while soy oil lost 0.05 cents to 50.37 cents a pound. Corn for March delivery was down 4 cents to $4.81 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery fell 10.25 to $6.15 a bushel, while, and that was in Chicago, while Kansas City futures lost 10.5 to 6.46 1/4 a bushel. Well, over in France, the farmers in France will plant 4.752 million hectares. That's 11.7 million acres for us over here, with soft wheat varieties in the 23-24 marketing year, according to sources in France. That's a little change from the previous month's forecast and up from the 4.697 million sold a year earlier. The marketing year for soft wheat in France runs from July 1st through the end of June. Yield is seen at Yield is seen to be around 46.4 bushels per acre this year, unchanged from the previous estimate, but well above last year's estimate. Production is now seen at 35.1 million metric tons, little change from November outlook, but up from 33.7 million last year in the 22-23 marketing year. Well, weather, it's all over the place here in the United States. Winter weather is headed for the southern plains today, as storm warnings and advisories have been issued for the region, according to the National Weather Service. A winter storm warning is in effect for eastern Colorado along the Kansas border until 5 p.m. Mountain Time on Thursday. Travel will be difficult as very slick conditions are possible due to that. And a winter weather advisory will take effect tonight in southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma Panhandle, as 2 to 3 inches of snow are possible in that area. And according to the Oklahoma Mesonet, that is, it's not an advisory anymore. It's actually a warning. So there you have it. No. Anyway, we'll come back after this Taylor Ranch break, and we'll go to update on the current markets. Doesn't look good. None of the markets look good today. Oil might be up a little bit, but everything, it's not pretty. So anyway, we'll look at that when we come back after this break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for, and if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The pasture range and forage rainfall insurance program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Ensure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
This is the Elk City Livestock Market Report for Friday, December 8th. 1,641 head were sold, 7 head of steers at 385, brought 317.50, 5 at 422, brought 302, 3 at 452, brought 302, 11 at 5 295 brought 231, 9 at 616 brought 219, 4 at 718 brought 215, 15 at 763 brought 215.50, 5 head of heifers at 404 brought 240, 6 at 558 brought 210, 11 at 578 brought 183.50, 13 at 672 brought 200, 6 at 797 brought 183.35, 3 at 845 brought 181, butcher cows were 32 to 111, butcher bulls brought 76 to 119, bred cows were 935 to 2450, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here in Elk City, in our studio, the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center that he installed in here about a year ago that's really cool. Basically no winds, 42 degrees, 97% humidity, and so far 3/4 of an inch here at our studio has fallen. Pretty good, starting around 2 this morning. Dozer, Texas, here you go, 42 degrees, wind chills at 37. The winds are out of the east at 8 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today so far, 16 miles an hour. Let's see here, 99% humidity, dew point's 42. So far, 1.90 inches of rain has fallen, almost 2-inch mark. No red flag minutes today, no sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, 49 degrees. And that's your ag update for out there in the panhandle of Texas. Dozer. Anyway, all right, let's see what the market's doing right now. It's not looking good. December corn, 455, down 7. March is 479, down 6. May is 492, down 5. Soybeans for January, 1303, down 20. March is 1322, down 20. May is 1336, down 19. Soybean meal right now, basically it's up. That's the only green thing I've seen on here, is up 60 cents at 429.80 for December. January, 401.80, down $8.50. March is 393.30, down 8.30. Soybean oil for December, 49.79. It's the first time I've seen it down in the 40s in quite a while. Down 60. January is 49.78, down 64. Hard red winter wheat is, just changed on me. Hang on here a second. Sorry, it always does that when I do. That's why I go, ee. Anyway, December, 638, down 12. March, 630, down 26. May, 634, down 25. And July, hard red winter wheat, 638, down 23. Cotton is unchanged for March at 81.05. May, 81.70, down 10. July is 82.07, down 13. Sugar keeps plunging. What are you doing to the market over there, sugardaddy.com, over at Dale High? What are you doing? You're down below 22. It's the first time I've seen it below 22 cents a pound for sugar since I started the show. So anyway, crude oil, January, West Texas Intermediate, 69.27, down 60, or up 66 cents. Sorry, February, 69.51, up 66. Natural gas is up a little bit today, still down there pretty low. January's at 234, February's at 229. And both of those are up about a nickel, is it? The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the green today. Not by much, but they're in the positive. They're trading positive. Live cattle for December, 164. Or sorry, let me back up. It just changed. 167.45. Down 25. February's 167.80, down 80. April live cattle, 171.40, down a dollar. Feeder cattle for January, 217.60, down $1.65. March, 217.97, down $1.62. April, 222 even, down $1.35. Lean hogs for December, 67.80, down 2 cents. February, 67.55, down 70. April, 74.85, down 62. May, 82.05, down 70. So there you got it. Let's see what has been going on so far this week in the northern part of the state with slaughter cows and bulls and some bred cows.
Looks like already compared to last week, slaughter cows and bulls were $2 to $6 lower. Demand was light to moderate, and that's pretty much it. And so we had breaker cows ranging anywhere from $14.52 to $16.53. Were top end average price was $104, but it's been averaging $88.53 to $104. Top dollar on them was $105. Boner cattle, boner cows was anywhere from $12.52 to $12.80. Anywhere from $87.64 to $98.15 dollar was the highest on any of those. Lean cows weighing anywhere from $9.33 up to $11.30 was bringing anywhere from $78.38 to $89.66. $87.23 was the average on some of those average lightweights. Bulls looked like they was bringing anywhere from $88.84 all the way up to $104.47. The weights on those bulls, average weights was anywhere from $16.66 up to $17.42. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to $12.85. Weights on them wasn't, they were lightweights, $9.78. 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to $18.50. And then they had some 8 year olds bringing up to $15.35. And then were for bred cows. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large, 1 to 2s with 150-pound calves or less on them, bringing $15.75. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large, number 1 2s with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, were bringing up to $23.50. Average on them was around $19.75 to $2,200. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large 2s with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, 5 to 8 year olds was bringing $16.25. And then, let's see here. I think that was about it. That was it. That's what's going on in the northern part of the state. How about that? Okay, let me get rid of some of this stuff so I can know where I'm at. Just a FYI for you, coming up this Friday evening at 5:30, the Farm Credit of Western Oklahoma is going to be supplying a meal out here at the Elk City Livestock Auction around 5:30. They're going to have their special sale to end the year with, starting at 5:30. They got all kinds of consignments going on there. I'll have it updated on what they got going on. As far as consignment wise, I'll get that from Brandon tomorrow evening, just to let you remember that. Go out there and get your free meal and get it going on. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and take a Taylor. Well, let me go. Let me finish this deal before I take a break, and then I'll take a break. Take a break. Take a break. An excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that's full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender is an eating experience so good it can still be remembered years later. Whether you would like to relive the mouthwatering event or experience it for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They work every day to create the tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics that enhance the marbling, ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarter, halves, or whole. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free, also available. Call Jimmy at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662 to get some of the best beef west of the Mississippi. All right, let's go ahead and take a break now and be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
The time to buy is now at Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford. Don't miss out on the lowest prices of the year on all new 2023 Fords. The new 2023 Ford Expedition. The new 2023 Ford Explorer. The new 2024 Ford F-150. Powerful savings and all the power you need to get the job done. Unbelievable pricing. Easy financing. Great service. Best Ford experts in Western Oklahoma. Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford. Just off I-40 and Airport Road. And online at CumminsFordWeatherford.com. Built Ford tough.
Sugar Creek Casino presents Clint Black in concert Friday, December 29th, Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
Now I'm talking in the moonlight.
An incredible night of Clint Black featuring some of his greatest hits. Don't miss Clint Black live at Sugar Creek Casino.
I'm leaving here.
Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. Here is your ag weather update. 44 degrees, feels like 39. Dew points at 43. The humidity's 98. The winds are out of the southeast, about 8 miles an hour. So far, the last 24 hours and 10 days, you've received 0.62 inches of rain. And for you people in Roger Mills County, south of Arnett, that's 621 thousandths of an inch, especially around, it's just mainly those people around Grimes in Roger Mills County that are so particular about how to measure the rain. But anyway, beside the point, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 42. 1-day 10-inch average fractional water, 0.2. Sunset at 5:26. Rain showers today, 80% chance and 48 for a high. Tonight, 60% chance of rain, 34 for low. Tomorrow, 70% chance of rain, and it looks like it's 100% chance of rain after midnight tomorrow night, all day Friday, according to the Mesonet here. So that 2 to 4 inches might happen because it's coming down. Let's get an update on that. Yeah, because the Mesonet's back to working in Eric, and they are up to 1.25 inches of rain so far. Hollis, 1.33. Mangum 1.22, and somewhere up there between Cheyenne and Camargo, they're over an inch up in that area also. So bring it on. We'll take it all. That up front is just stalled out in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle. Looks like it's going to hang around for another couple, 2 or 3 hours. Okay, let's see here. I have a deal somewhere on here for, yeah, Tyrone Spearman. Let's see what he's got to say here. Let me push the right buttons here so it don't sound like crap. Anyway, Tyrone's got a deal. According to the National Peanut Board, efforts have been underway to develop a variety that's resistant to leaf spot. Got more on that right now. Bear with me here a second. I had the wrong button pushed, of course. And we get that one, get that one, and get that one, and get that one. And we should be good. Let's try it now.
If we are successful, this leaf spot resistant. The National Peanut Board is reporting that the peanut production highlights show that Dr. Corley Holbrook of Tifton, Georgia, and his team at USDA and others recently developed a variety using generic markers that are resistant to leaf spot. Leaf spot is one of the most damaging peanut diseases that farmers fight each year in growing peanuts. Holbrook said today, if we are successful, this leaf spot resistance will mean fewer trips across the field for farmers and reduce the use of fungicides and lead to a better profit. Learn more from the nationalpeanutboard.org about that new product. Checking on the totals on peanuts, Federal State Inspection Service says we've got 2,817,000 tons. That is 94.2% of the predicted production for this year. It looks like we still have a few in the field, and buying points are having to stay open. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Spearman, on that. Sorry about that. I just had the wrong buttons pushed. You guys ever been in here and ever seen this board, you'll see what I mean. But anyway, all right, we got every now and then I bring up the deal on your wheels and stuff like this. And this one that I seen out of Successful Farming was a pretty nice one. So I'm going to share this with you before we go to our next break. Design your farm succession plan first, then gift your farmland. According to this, make key decisions within your farm succession plan to prevent issues that arise from gifting farmland. Problem: what steps do I need to take to gift farmland to my adult children? Our advisors recommend that we give 40% of our land to our kids to reduce potential estate losses upon death. One son farms and the other three have off-farm jobs. We have appraisals and plans to use some of our lifetime credit through the Form 709 gift tax return. What else should we be thinking about before making the gift? Solution: I remember a Christmas morning several years ago, our son was the first to open a gift under the tree. It was his dream Lego set. He raced to his room, slammed the door, and started playing before the wrapping paper even hit the floor. We were happy that he liked his gift, but we expected our family to share Christmas morning together, not in a playful isolation. We quickly come up with rules about experiencing the joy of the gift while staying together as a family. I encourage you to do the same for your farm. Be careful, though. I've seen well-intentioned gifts go bad when the gifting was not aligned with the farm succession goals. Here are some gifting do's and don'ts to avoid future problems. To qualify potential estate losses, quantify potential estate losses. I get a lot of calls from farmers determined to gift their land away, only to discover that they're way below the tax threshold. If you do need to reduce your estate, also consider entity discounts, special use valuation, and transfer non-farm assets like cash and life insurance ownership. Don't forget about cost basis and depreciation. There are some advantages to inheriting assets versus receiving a gift. Do establish operating rules and exit strategies first. It's pointless to close the gate after the cattle escape. Define the management rules, rental options, valuation methods, permissible owners, and buyout terms before you make the gift. Don't rely on the kids to figure it all out. The kids can always choose to get along. The rules are there in case they don't. Do calculate your cash flow after the gift. The net income off the land follows ownership. If you gift away 40% of your land, you might lose 40% of your income. Plan accordingly. Don't rely on your kids to give back income if you need it. Yeah, sorry, Dad. I already spent that money. You're not getting it back. Overtime, their new income usually builds their lifestyle, not yours. Plus, what if they pass away and their estate automatically passes to the spouse? Will the in-laws and perhaps spouse number two take care of you? Probably not. Do analyze your remaining collateral position. Do you have an existing debt, or do you want to buy more land someday? How will the balance sheet transfer impact your financing? Don't forget to talk to your banker. That's the most important part. Existing debt may need to be transferred with a gift or reassigned to other farms before approval. Do consider your farm inheritance collateral. Will your farming heir eventually collateralize his gifted land for expansion? That might be difficult if the land is split, has split tenants in common between the siblings, or commingle within an entity. Keep just his name on the deed if possible. Last but not least, don't overlook the equity risk with the off-farm heirs. The heirs. What if the off-road heirs want to leverage their land? Is that okay? Are there concerns about financial problems or even divorce? These issues are all solvable. They're actually key decisions within your farm succession plan. Do you want to prevent good gifts from going bad? Then begin with the end in mind. Design your farm succession plan first, then coordinate your gifting. Your kids will experience the joy of the gift while keeping the farm and all the family together. So anyway, man, I've heard some bad deals out there with families all over the country from reading some of these things that on succession plans or gifting or brother and sister. Sister doesn't farm, but brother does, and he wants to keep all the farm because he's used to farming it with his dad or his dad and mom. It's a bad deal. So anyway, take time out to make sure your succession plan is the right one. Your lawyer, your banker, the whole nine yards. So there you go. Well, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, I have some stuff on crabgrass. I have your Hobart Farm and Garden long range, not long, almost said it again, your Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather update for somebody down there in southwestern Oklahoma. And we got some more stuff to talk about. The wolves in Colorado. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to pivot,
Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, the new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different sized dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for Hollis, Oklahoma. 42 degrees, feels like 35, dew point's 41, humidity's 96%. Wind right now is out of the east at 13 miles an hour. 24-hour and 10-day rainfall totals, 1.36 inches of rain. Nice. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 46 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.10. Sunset, 5:29 p.m. Today, rain showers likely, 90% chance, high at 50. And winds are out of the east at 10. Tonight, 60% chance of rain likely, 37 for a low. Tomorrow, rain likely, 60% chance at Hollis, and 48 for a high. Okay, I seen something cool on one of the Shattuck FFA page, I believe it was. I wanted to share this with you guys, so if you guys know some kids that would be interested in this, this is a pretty cool deal. The Oklahoma High School Barbecue Association will be having a contest in Shattuck April 17th. And then the Oklahoma State Championships, May 11th, in the High Plains Tech Center, Technology Center there in Woodward. It's pretty cool. It's open to any group of high school or middle school students from the same school and consists of 1 to 5 members, unlimited teams for each school district, open to FFA, 4-H, FCS, Career Tech class groups, etc. Charters have to be registered, though, by February 15th, and that's not that far away. It's just a couple months away, but time gets away. So top 10 teams at state qualify for the national championship in June in Branson, Missouri. How about that? So anyway, come eat your homework. So that's what they're saying. Come eat our homework. Anyway, this Chris Kellen in Shattuck. I'm taking it. Yeah, it's at Shattuck. 580-571-5029 to get a hold of them for more questions, or you can go to this website if you want to jog this down real quick. Pretty cool. www.highschoolbarbecueleague.com/join-us-now-register. So pretty easy to find out. That's so cool. Might have to find some kids from around here and supply them with some beef, go to that contest, see how it goes. That'd be pretty cool. That's coming up, not too far away, April in Shattuck. So it's pretty interesting deal. Let's see here. Colorado Livestock Groups file a lawsuit to delay wolf introduction. I knew this was coming. Everybody sues everybody anymore to stop crap. The Colorado Cattlemen's Association and the Gunnison County Stock Growers Association filed a complaint this week in the United States District Court for the District of Colorado regarding the pending release of gray wolves in Colorado. The industry group filed the litigation to address concerns about the potential impact of wolf introduction on livestock in rural communities. The group says the decision to pursue legal action comes after extensive discussion with members. Both CCA and the GCSA have opposed wolf introduction since it was proposed. It was a proposed ballot and was involved in every step of the process. They both actively participated in developing Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission Wolf Management Plan, as members expressed detailed oral and written concerns regarding the scope impacts associated with the potential release. However, those concerns and looming conflicts were not sufficiently resolved during the public process, they note. They said that subsequent renewal of the cooperative agreement between FWS and the CPW authorizing the proposed release is clearly a major federal action that is subject to National Environmental Policy Act requirements. In fact, Eric Odell, Species Conservation Program Manager for the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, recently acknowledged to the Channel 9 News up there that there's nothing we've taken on as an agency that's nearly as big and meaningful as this. So anyway, they it's not a good deal. And they've already, they found that out in Wyoming. And now you can buy a wolf tag, shoot one up there, and it just, I don't know. Two sides to every story, but I'm pretty sure when 90% of the votes for the yes, according to a couple deals I've read, in Colorado, 90% of the votes come from Denver and Pueblo and the big cities there and Colorado Springs. And then people just want to see them and take pictures, and they don't think about the impact it has on cattlemen in Colorado. So anyway, pretty interesting. I'll keep following up on that. Anyway, yesterday I forgot to tell you about the world exports on hay of U.S. alfalfa. Totaled 181,581 metric tons during October, according to the USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. This was down from almost 41,000 metric tons from a year ago, and was roughly 37,000 metric tons below the previous month. Year to date, though, October alfalfa exports were running about 18% behind last year. China imported 85,828 metric tons of U.S. alfalfa in October, accounting for about almost half of the total U.S. alfalfa hay exports. That's up 1% from the previous month, but down 42% year over year. Exports of U.S. alfalfa hay to Saudi Arabia plummeted to 14,761 metric tons in October, 61% drop from the previous month, and this pushed Saudi Arabia from second to fifth place among top export markets, putting it behind South Korea, 15,000 tons, and Canada, 14,000 tons. So there you go, have it. Anyway, Kansas State, KSU, Wildcats. Research and Extension released a new publication this fall on using crabgrass is an alternative forage for cattle. An online version of the publication is available, and I'll give that to you later on, and copies can also be ordered from the K-State Research and Extension bookstore. Easy to find there. In eastern Kansas, pasture is the most important source of feed for livestock. And the only reason why I'm talking about this, everybody around here is getting to like that crabgrass unless it's in their crop, because it bales good, it gets put up hay, it puts up a lot of hay, and it's actually very high on your hay test. In systems with cool season forages, a lack of forage may occur during the summer because cool and warm season grasses have different mechanisms. One option is to extend the grazing season, is to have pastures with warm season forage grass, such as crabgrass, that produce most of the forage during hot months. Crabgrass is a forage introduced to the United States in 1849. It's an annual species, but due to high capacity to produce seeds allowing reseeding, it is considered a perennial forage. Crabgrass is considered a weed by many producers but it can be beneficial option to feed cattle because of its high yield. Its forage quality is higher than other warm season grasses such as Bermuda grass. Crab grass has clump type growth habit, and due to the presence of stolons, stems growing horizontally, which can produce roots, spreads aggressively, and it can be used as a cover crop. Crabgrass should be seeded in a clean area in the spring when there is a little chance of frost. Seeds should be drilled no deeper than a quarter of an inch. Seeds planted below a half inch might result in poor pasture stand. The seeds can also be broadcast, but it's recommended to cultipack after seeding to improve seed soil contact and reduce loss due to heavy rainfall. A good stand, dense and healthy, can be achieved by seeding 4 to 6 pounds of pure live seed per acre. With adequate moisture, seed germination begins when the soil temperature reaches 55 degrees. Pasture establishment can be sped up through nitrogen fertilization when the seeds have germinated and tillers are in the early stages. Nitrogen inputs improve tillering and consequently reduces runoff and controls weeds. Controlling weeds in crabgrass. Controlling weeds is essential as weeds will compete with crabgrass for water, nutrient, and sunlight. The best way to control weeds to stimulate growth by maintaining adequate soil fertility levels, which will result in a rapid establishment and soil cover. The faster the pasture is established, the less chance weeds have to grow. If crabgrass is growing well, shading, lack of sunlight, and will limit the weed emergence and development. In addition, adequate harvest management helps to control weeds by avoiding over-harvesting. When the stubble heights are lower than 3 to 4 inches, the plant reserves may be compromised, reducing the capacity and the velocity of the regrowth. How about that? Herbicides can be used to control weeds in association with harvesting management. Before using any herbicide, always consult the label for application restriction and instructions, such as recommendations for rates, timing, and grazing restrictions. Only allow grazing after the grazing restriction period has ended. There you go. Soil fertility directly affects forage production and quality, and quantity also. It is important to highlight that fertilization should be done based on soil test results. There's that word again, soil test. Though the first step to take good soil samples to support an adequate fertilization program. Contact your local extension agent for instructions about soil sampling and tests. Pretty good. I don't know. I'm about all about that crabgrass. We got some crabgrass mixed in with some straw from a guy up around Billings here a couple years ago, and those cows ate every bit of that hay. There was none wasted whatsoever. So there you go. There's your update on that. Quick note on some policies from Washington. Just give you guys an update if you ain't been keeping up with it or watching RFD TV. Bipartisan bill targets Paraguay beef imports. Senator Tester out of Montana and Mike Rounds out of South Dakota introduced legislation to continue a ban on beef imports from Paraguay. The move comes in response to a recent Biden administration proposal that would lift the longstanding ban. Critics say Paraguay's current testing process does not adequately protect the American food supply and from threats like foot and mouth disease. So there we go. The U.S. Cattlemen's Association, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and RCAF have all endorsed this legislation. How about that? All right. Lawmakers are demanding the Hot Foods Act. Nearly 100 congressmen penned a letter to Senate and House Ag Committee leaders calling for the passage of the Hot Foods Act. The legislation introduced by Senator Bennett out of Colorado would allow SNAP recipients to use the benefits to purchase heated foods, hot meals, and cold prepared foods. Currently, the recipients are only allowed to use SNAP funds for food items that can be prepared at home. And that's about all that's going on in the world that I figure you guys might be interested in. So anyway, well, just in time too. All right, hope you guys enjoyed this Taylor Ranch Happy Hour today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.